Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
And Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXL.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It is a stunning loss for the Obama cabinet process. One of the president's prize Republican choices, Senator Judd Gregg for Commerce, has decided he'd rather not, not after the debate over economic stimulus.
I just realized as these issues started to come at us that and they started to crystallize that it really wasn't a good fit and that I wouldn't be comfortable doing this and that it wouldn't be fair to him to be part of a team and not be able to be 100% on the team.
Live now to Illinois, where the president has been talking stimulus at the Caterpillar factory, CBS's Peter Mayer.
The White House voices regrets over what's described as Senator Gregg's change of heart. Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says once it became clear that Gregg would not support some of the president's top economic goals, they had to part ways. The timing of Gregg's announcement is a blow to the administration, coming just as the president nears victory on the economic plan that he promoted to Illinois factory workers. A source close to the White House says officials are stunned and angry. Gregg once favored eliminating the Commerce Department. Now he's eliminated himself from running at Harley.
Another setback for the president. After Mr. Obama had left the Caterpillar factory there, the chairman of the company told his employees, fact is, he'll probably have to lay off more employees before there's any rehiring in maybe a couple of years, not the immediacy the president had said just minutes before that. Now imagine this, the judge who sent you to jail goes to prison for doing it.
I mean, it's just unreal that they could put kids in just to get dollars and not care about the health, their well-being.
Flo Wallace's daughter, Bree, was one of hundreds of teenagers in Pennsylvania sent to juvie jails in the Scranton area by judges who were paid millions by the facilities to do that. The judges are expected to go away now for 7 years. Three special masters, judges, have looked at the science and said the evidence is overwhelming against any link between measles vaccine and autism. Rita Schreffler at the National Autism Association refuses to believe that.
We all know there's more lobbyists on Capitol Hill than there are congressmen and senators. And the pharmaceutical industry is very, very powerful. And I think we're seeing an example of that.
The L.A. Times says fertility doctor already under investigation for octuplets mom in California implants again. CBS's Steve Futterman says this time it's four embryos.
The mother this time, a 49-year-old woman who has three grown children from a previous marriage. Her current husband, who's in his early 30s, does not have any children. One doctor calls this latest multiple pregnancy potentially dangerous because of the mother's age.
Trial is set for April 6th for a man in Salinas, California, charged with selling his 14-year-old daughter into marriage for $16,000, beer and some meat for grilling. And this tidbit from the National Transportation Safety Board today, as expected, it was Canada geese in the engines of the Airbus that landed in the Hudson River. This is CBS News.
Thanks for seeing us, Doctor.
Danny's warm. Let's get a temperature.
I want the Star Wars thermometer.
Absolutely, Danny.
What kind of thermometer is that?
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is what he means. Just a gentle scan across the forehead gives a fast, accurate reading. We're using it on all our patients now. It's good for the whole family. No more ears. Or rears.
Wowee, Mom, can we get one, too? I can't wait to take everyone's temperature.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner. A better thermometer. Home model available at Walmart, Walgreens, Costco, Sam's Club, Babies R Us, and Toys R Us.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break: her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save: time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
If you lose your job, unemployment benefits kick in, right? Well, maybe.
To save money in hard times, more employers who've cut jobs are contesting unemployment benefits. That's the allegation from Andrew Stepner of the National Employment Law Project.
Employers are contesting claims in unscrupulous ways, and when the true facts get out, workers can get their benefits, but a lot of times the true facts don't get out.
He says one in four workers have their benefits challenged, and on appeal, they win in more than 80% of the cases. Virginia Administrative Law Judge Coleman Walsh says employers are getting a bad rap.
The vast majority of the time, there is at least a fair and arguable basis why an employer or claimant is filing the appeal.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
An elementary school in Euless, Texas, between Dallas and Fort Worth, was evacuated after a little boy brought a dummy hand grenade in for show and tell. It was empty. There was a hole in the bottom. You could see inside. Still, they emptied the school, and police gave the boy a good talking to. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm the superintendent of a school district. Last week, we added Aflac to our employee benefits package. With Aflac, we're headed to the top of the class. It helps us attract and retain employees, and it's available at no direct cost to the district. Plus, getting started is as easy as...
Aflac!
He's so gifted. Get extra credit.
Aflac,
for more information,
Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to
AflacForBusiness.com.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break. Her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Oh, yeah.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Watch out. I have been stimulated right where I keep my wallet. Never know what'll happen when Peter B. gets stimulated.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
Lots to talk about, great people to talk with on the program today, and you're invited to call in whenever the urge strikes you. 888-5 Peter B is my toll free number.
Within.
I can dig it. In a moment, we'll get some of the latest news and analysis from Washington from the Center for American Progress. Matt Corley will join us in a moment. Later this hour, we're going to rip apart the term clean coal. It's not an oxymoron. It's a lie believed only by morons. And maybe people on oxy. I don't know. David Novak, who produced the fabulous documentary called Burning the Future, will be here to talk with us in half an hour. Next hour, it's our weekly episode on military and veterans issues with Scott Dick, who served and explains the things that I missed because I didn't. And we're going to talk about the policy toward Afghanistan. Can you believe the word out of the White House is they are ready to send more troops even as they have not completed a review of the strategy and the plans for Afghanistan? I say, wait a minute. We don't need another Vietnam. We don't need another quagmire like Iraq. Let's think carefully about this. And we'll take lots of your phone calls in the free speech zone in our third hour and get some wacky news from R.J. Schulman at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. It's all ahead today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Matt Corley joins us, as I mentioned, from the Center for American Progress. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Thanks for subbing for Faz today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
And you folks from CAP are, you know, in the other time zone, and so you only hear the beginning of our show. And I'd like you to know that every evening as I'm signing off, we trot out Roy Rogers. And today we're going to start the show with this song, and we're going to dedicate it to Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire. Happy trails, Judd. We don't need you in the cabinet. And you can't count anyway.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
And keep smiling, Judd.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
I have to tell you, Matt, it made my day when I heard the breaking news that Senator Gregg has said, no, he cannot find it in his heart to serve in the Obama cabinet. And I couldn't find room for him either, so the feelings are mutual.
I have to say, I personally was surprised to find out that Judd Gregg realized he was a conservative and a Republican. And, oh, my God, he did not fit in Obama's cabinet.
Yeah. Well, it was a bizarre move that I never understood, and you've got some backgrounders up at thinkprogress.org right now, and people can see some of the sequence here. I didn't know that Judd Gregg volunteered to be Commerce Secretary.
I didn't know that explicitly beforehand.
Yeah.
But that's what's going on is basically he pushed for and sold himself for the job. It wasn't the Obama folks coming in and begging him and saying, Judd, we need you. But he... Mm-hmm. You know, he tried to sell himself for it, and then all of a sudden, I guess he had seller's remorse.
Well, the only moment that I felt good about the Judd Gregg appointment was when I mistakenly believed that a Democrat would be appointed to replace him, getting us to the 60 votes. We don't need the nuclear option. We can shut down the minority in the Senate. But that wasn't part of the deal. I don't know how Obama, a Chicago Paul, I mean, I got my education in Chicago on how to work deals and how politics works. And I'm no Rod Blagojevich, and he's got the hair and I don't. But, you know, for them to appoint a Republican, have the shot at a double play there, to appoint a Democrat to replace him and then pass on that, well, it was a huge missed opportunity, and I could never for a moment imagine the true value of Judd Gregg in the cabinet except for picking up his Senate seat.
Yeah, I felt like they never really adequately explained the thinking behind the nomination, other than the veneer of bipartisanship. They never really said, this is why Gregg will be good in the job, other than, well, he can talk to conservatives.
Well, and we know, as again you have posted here at Think Progress, that back in 1995, he wanted to abolish the Department of Commerce, and he voted that way on legislation that didn't pass.
Yeah, usually it's good to have someone support the department there, the existence of the department they're going to run when you nominate them.
Well, no. You have to have a qualifier there, Matt. In a Republican administration, the lead qualification for a cabinet member is to have the desire to rip apart the progressive elements of that federal agency. It's what I call the wrecking crew, and that's what Bush had for 8 years.
And here we all thought that it was a Democrat who was picking the head of the Department of Commerce, which I guess now we might have that again.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the issues that surfaced, we were talking with Congresswoman Barbara Lee yesterday, chair of the Black Caucus in the House, and they were very concerned that if he were confirmed as Secretary of Commerce, that he would conduct the census in a way that would not favor urban populations and the counting of certain minority groups, including African Americans.
Yeah, and the divide between conservatives and progressives when it comes to consensus is that progressives want everyone to be counted, or as many as people to count. We don't want to miss people,
mm-hmm.
And conservatives want to be stingy, and you know they don't want to include everyone. And
they apply that philosophy to elections too, Matt.
We don't want to count every vote. This is has a great effect on elections because it's apportionment of congressional districts and everything.
That's right. Yeah. And while we're speaking about that, just a quick comment. There is legislation pending that would actually give the District of Columbia, who currently has a delegate who can't vote in the House, Eleanor Holmes Norton would be elevated to a full member of Congress. I think that's long overdue, and I hope that passes even before we have a reapportionment following the 2010 census. Matt Corley, let me also ask you about the stimulus package, because because there are rumors flying around the web that my very senior Senator Feinstein inserted a clause that essentially undermines net neutrality, and it doesn't appear to be a full repeal or you know, rollback of net neutrality, but the language that I've seen in emails that I've gotten refers to reasonable management of computer networks, which would suggest that Verizon or some other Comcast, a major provider, could place limits on my ability to download music videos or porn.
Yes. There's a big fear that that language that in Feinstein's proposal opens up the big gap or a loophole.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it exist? Is this real? Did she, in fact, insert some language to that effect in some portion of the stimulus bill?
I've heard what I've heard, and this is just reading from people who look at this a little bit closer than I do, is that she pushed for it, but it didn't make it into the final bill. Although, until the vote happens, it's still fluid. So, potentially, maybe it could get put back in.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, where it stands right now, it hasn't gotten put. The language wasn't put into the final bill.
Now, what happened to all that sunshine that we were expecting from the Democrats? Here we are in the conference process, and we screamed bloody murder when Ted Stevens would insert pork for Alaska and other earmarks at the very last minute, things that never saw a committee vote, never saw even the full vote of the body, the Senate in this case, until the final package was presented with a take-it-or-leave-it approach. So are the Democrats doing similar things? Is Feinstein using her clout to try to sneak things in the very final stage of the process?
I think there is, although there's been some steps towards more transparency, a lot of the old rules are still in play here.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when a bill is being pushed through this quickly, it's not going through the regular order, there's a lot of room for senators, especially the so-called centrist caucus. They're not actually caucus, but the centrists who are unfortunately having too much sway in these negotiating, there's a lot of room for them to get their priorities and to push language into the bill. And it's such a large bill that things can get kind of – it's there for people who look for it, but it's not very apparent, and people really have to find it for us to know that it's in there.
Now, Matt, one of the things that I've heard was the Congress, the House passed a resolution saying that in all cases, bills will be posted online for at least 48 hours before the members are required to vote on them. Now, I understand there's a vote set for Friday on the House approval of the conference report on the stimulus package. That's their final round of voting on it. Yet, as we speak, those files have not been posted.
Yeah, there's been no, like, official posting of draft and language and information gets leaked out to different news organizations. But to my knowledge, there's been no, official website set up that is easy to search for people to look through the bill. And this is actually something that Republicans, who I think they're doing it for a lot of political posturing, but they've been saying, you know, we thought, you know, the American people would get a chance at 48 hours to say this. Now, I don't think they're arguing that in good faith, but... you know, there's a reasonable point in there as well.
Well, I like the way you put that, because I agree. There is a reasonable point that people of any political stripe can agree on, and that is that they shouldn't be voting on a Patriot Act or a $789 billion package of spending and bad tax cut policies without being able to read the bill at least a full day before they have to decide whether to vote on it, vote for it or not. And so regardless of who is in power, this is an issue that should be dealt with. And, yes, I still feel that Republicans are taking any pot shot they can and using all kinds of lies and distortion to try to cherry-pick aspects of this bill and peel away support. So
they're also making things up out of thin air. Did you hear what happened with the Marshmouse and Representative Speaker Pelosi?
No, because I was out playing frisbee golf with Sean Hannity. But tell me about the Pelosi story. I don't know that one.
Well, so apparently some House Republican aides they were sending around an email that supposedly an unnamed staffer from an unnamed agency said that if they got money, they would spend it to protect these mice out in San Francisco or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that language, and the Washington Times, a conservative paper from in D.C. here, who very much often rewrites GOP talking points or writes things up that are blatantly distorted.
Mm-hmm. The Mooney paper, yes.
That Pelosi had inserted in the bill an earmark specifically for protecting this marsh mouse. Mm. And Pelosi's people responded, that's a complete fabrication. There's no language in there. And it's based on an unnamed person from an unnamed agency saying that, well, maybe potentially this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quickly bounced around to Fox News. Republican members of Congress are pushing this as the new outrage.
And Rush Limbaugh has the electronic medical records of those mice. And he's spilling them all over the place right now. We'll take a break and return. Matt Corley is with us today. You can get your own copy of the Progress Report delivered free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org, give him your email address, and it'll happen. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation.
Is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hello, KRXA listeners. This is Sylvia Waldrop-Quarles, president of the Monterey County Branch NAACP. We're excited to announce our annual Life Membership Awards Dinner being held on Saturday, February 21st from 6 to 10 at the lovely Embassy Suites. KRXA's own Hal Ginsberg will be receiving the NAACP's Spirit of Partnership Award. Come to the dinner to show your support. on February 21st. For tickets, call us at 394-3727. Tickets are $75 each. Again, call us at 394-3727. Yes, that's 394-3727.
Word reaching us, DNA tests confirm that the birds that clogged the engines that caused the crash landing in the Hudson River of that U.S. Airways flight with Sully at the controls, those birds are Canadian geese. I'm sure our forces are marshaling, ready to pour over the border. And what do we want? Well, I'd say either Montreal or Vancouver. They're both great cities, and we could annex them. And probably they have positive cash flow. Matt Corley is with us from the Center for American Progress. Check out their progress report and their frequently updated news site and blog, thinkprogress.org. A couple of quickies, Matt. Leon Panetta, Hilda Solis cleared their respective Senate committees, so their nominations go to the full floor, and I think each is likely to be confirmed. Are there any holdouts left of key posts that require Senate confirmation?
Well, there's now obviously the big gap at Commerce. I think everyone else is through, is in the process, and there doesn't seem to be any holds or holdups. And
right, so we need a Daschle replacement and a Gregg replacement, but none of those who've been named and are still actively under consideration are being held up.
I don't think so. Unless, I can't remember if Lynn, the lobbyist,
There's a blurb in the New York Times, and I've got it right here because I collect things like that, and it said that he cleared the committee.
So, yeah, then we're just waiting for the new nominees.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, back to the stimulus package for a minute. Are there any other last-minute surprises or changes on this program? We've covered the broad outlines of the package, compared the House and the Senate versions. And I'm just interested to know if there have been any other tax breaks snuck in. Are we still at roughly 42% tax breaks and 58% reasonable stimulus spending?
I think that's about the ratio that's in there now. I don't think we'll see any big drastic changes, especially towards the more tax cut direction.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that within the conference haggling, it's moved from the Senate version of the bill was much worse than the House version of the bill. Now it's creeping back a little bit towards the House version of the bill, but not going back as much as most progressives would like.
Right. Okay. And critical for us here, because we're broke and the Republicans are holding us hostage in California, there is a significant amount of money in there to help bail out California. Some of it is in the schools construction money. Some of it is in the health care, and we call it Medi-Cal here, but the federal reimbursements for health care for the poor. So it should help, and it should start to ease some of our pain, but we've still got big problems with our legislature in Sacramento. Matt, one more item that I'm looking at thinkprogress.org relates to the case that was heard Monday at the Ninth Circuit here in San Francisco regarding five people who were subjected to an extraordinary rendition and to torture. And we now have a new twist. It was so disappointing that the Obama legal team, now led by Eric Holder, embraced the very same bad position regarding state secrets asserted by the Bush administration. And now one of the lawyers, Clive Stafford Smith, wrote a letter to President Obama trying to ask him to make some documents public that have been ruled secret by the courts, even though they're public information. And so we're getting into a Kafka zone here, and I want people to go to Think Progress and take a look at this. You've got a clip from a British broadcast that I think is worth people seeing. And this is a case that we, in my view, need to keep the pressure up and keep our voices heard, because there is no excuse for this broad assertion of the state secret privilege. There may be certain materials that should not be heard in open court, and even I understand that. But this broad assertion by the Bushies is something that cannot stand. So I thank you for your contributions, Matt, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Matt Corley from the Center for American Progress. Coming up next, clean coal? It's ridiculous. We'll air that out with documentarian David Novak here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. You know whose birthday this is? Besides Abraham Lincoln, I mean. Richard Miller could tell you.
There are celebrations all over the world. In fact, February 12th in many quarters is known as Darwin Day.
That's right. Charles Darwin was born on this day, too. Miller, a boyhood friend of the late evolutionary biologist Stephen Jay Gould when they were kids in Queens, is himself a Darwin historian.
We talk about Darwin not simply as a man, but for what he represents. The spirit of free inquiry, the attempt of the human mind to find out as far as it can go, to understand our origins and how we're related to other creatures on the earth.
Miller also presents Darwin in a one-man show, Charles Darwin Live and in Concert. Some of that after this. Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD? It begins with symptoms that include wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is the key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break: her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save. Time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
In Richard Milner's show, which helps to underwrite his studies of Darwin and the books that he writes, he plays the author of The Origin of Species, complete with white beard and bowler hat, in patter songs, sometimes reminiscent of Gilbert and Sullivan.
I was lying awake with a dismal headache, and my sleep was put off by anxiety. But I feared that my plan of explaining how man had evolved would bring on notoriety. Though I fled London town for the village of Down, and a home that is quiet and regal. Yet I get no repose, and I can't even doze without dreaming I'm back on the Beagle.
And sometimes, Milner makes Darwin sound like Professor Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady.
There was an ancient monkey with a long and curly tail. This ape evolved into a man. He's teaching now at Yale. A chimp could pass for upper class in gloves and a cravat. Why didn't I think of that?
By the way, Abe Lincoln and Charles Darwin were born not only on the same date, but on the same day. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And let me just say it loud and clear. When you hear the words clean and coal coupled into the same phrase, there's somebody telling you a big fat lie.
Wake up, everybody. Almost a spinning day. Walk back with thinking. Change so very way it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Pick up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Read it in their lesson for what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up in the world and in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
David Novak returns to our program, the filmmaker responsible for the powerful documentary called Burning the Future, Coal in America. It screened here in California at the Mill Valley Film Festival last fall, and that's when I got to meet David in person. He is a terrific spokesperson who understands the real inner workings of the coal industry, some of the grisly processes that are used to extract coal, with great cost to the environment and to human life nearby. And it's all depicted in this powerful documentary, Burning the Future. David, welcome back to our program.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me on again.
Well, you really are a very effective spokesperson on these issues, and I appreciate your voice. I invited you to talk with us about the coal ash mess in Tennessee, and I do want to discuss that. But before I get to it, I have to tell you that in the last couple of weeks, as I consume massive amounts of cable news in the evening, I have paused my TiVo device more than once to see this piece of propaganda coming from the Clean Coal Consortium, whoever those propagandists are. And they are using footage of candidate Barack Obama. I imagine he was campaigning in a coal state at the time he made these comments. But he talked about clean coal technology and how it's going to produce 5 million new jobs. And I don't know why the Obama folks would authorize the usage of this footage in a piece of blatant propaganda like this. But I just wanted to ask you for your reaction to it, and if you know the backstory about why Obama would permit these comments to be used in what I consider to be such a one-sided piece.
Sure. Well, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, you know, I can see where the footage of him speaking at public events is actually public property.
Is it?
Yeah, so that probably does not need to be cleared with anybody to be used. If you get up in front of a podium and you're making speeches and there are cameras, there's a presumption that you know that footage of you is going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And because the organizations that are putting these forth are political action committees, they're able to hide behind a number of veils that permits them to, you know, not have to get clearances on the use of this kind of material.
Okay, because I see your point. It strikes me not as a political message so much as an endorsement of this industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like he endorsed Pepsi or Fritos or clean coal.
That's absolutely right. And it's clear that when Obama was in the coal states and also in many of the heavily unionized states and states with a lot of power plants, mostly from the Midwest and going, you know, straight down to Texas from the Midwest, he had to support clean coal to get elected, was the position of his people.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's going to come down on it when everything settles out over the course of the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. And because of that, those folks who are lobbying against coal are putting a lot of pressure in Washington and in state capitals to make sure that this message that's out there about clean coal technology is debunked before policy starts to move heavily in that direction.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of work to do on that, though, because I think it has been a successful PR and propaganda campaign to insert that word clean in front of coal. And there are a lot of people who think, wow, technology is advanced, science is our friend, and we can use coal and not pollute the environment and not degrade the areas from which the coal is extracted.
That's right. That's right. And it's insane. The truth about clean coal, and we spoke about this before on your show, is that if you were to ignore extraction, there are expensive processes that can eliminate virtually all the pollution except for the carbon dioxide. And those processes are very expensive, and they're really not being used anywhere. I mean, they're being used a very, very little bit relative to our 500 coal-fired power plants that we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the carbon dioxide, and the proposals for clean coal technology for carbon dioxide are to, you know, take it and liquefy it and stick it underground far down into the crust of the earth and cross our fingers that it's going to last there forever. And, you know, that's a very debatable issue. There are top scientists who believe that with the ingenuity that we could apply, we can actually get there. And there are top scientists who believe there's no way, and why would we ever want to take that risk and go in that direction?
Mm-hmm.
All scientists agree that it's going to take 20 years to find out if it's feasible at the scale that we need to do it to make a difference. And it's going to be exorbitantly expensive to do the research, and then it will be exorbitantly expensive to run.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly making coal not very cheap, and we like to think of coal as a cheap source of energy, and when it gets down to carbon mitigation, it's not going to be cheap at all.
Yeah.
That's all without even looking at extraction, and
right.
We've talked about this before, Peter. I mean, the extraction issues around coal are just abominable.
And in simple terms, for people who haven't heard our discussions before, you have traditional coal mining where they dig a tunnel and go underground and bring it out in little railroad-type cars. That's very risky for the humans who go underground to extract that coal, and we've seen that play out in Pennsylvania and Utah and other coal mine shafts in recent years. And then as you profile in Burning the Future, mountaintop mining is essentially where they blow the lid off a mountain, and the seams of coal that are, several layers down are then accessible from the what is now the top. And so you don't need all the tunnels. It's much less expensive to strip that coal out. And then, of course, it's the mitigation that could occur but often does not, which is after they've finished extracting all the coal, they could go to great lengths to recompose the physical area that they have chopped into. But for the most part, they just pile rubble back on top and move on. And they don't care about the impact in terms of various diseases that afflict the people who live nearby, the problems that are caused by erosion and new distribution of water that comes through there in ways that can't be predicted, and flash flooding that occurs. And then we have the coal ash problem that we saw in Tennessee recently. I want to get to that, but Dave's on the line with a comment about clean coal. Here's Dave from Eureka. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
You may have already touched on it since I first called in, but that is the question is, why is terms like clean coal being at all uttered by our current President Obama? Why is he using such a phrase? And you did allude to political necessity, but why has he not clarified that he had misspoke very, very badly when he used the term?
Well, there's
I think to date he hasn't quite moved onto this issue yet. There are other pressing issues that are distracting him, like getting a cabinet that's functional. But in addition to that, you know, I don't know if he's going to come up and really backtalk on it. I hope he does. Many of us hope that he does, and I think that really remains to be seen. There's no question that in order to get the national union support that he needed to get elected, he was going to have to back the notion of clean coal.
And, Dave, he also made some not detailed remarks, but some pretty straightforward comments that he supports nuclear power. And he often hedged it with research into storage of nuclear waste. But he, in one of the debates with McCain, said that, I agree with you on nuclear. And McCain's got a really dangerous position on the expansion of nuclear power plants in this country. On the environment, Obama played fast and loose with certain critical issues. And it does remain to be seen just how much of a course correction we will see in terms of the policies that he agrees to, and also the extent to which progressives and the Congress can move him in what I would consider a more favorable direction.
Well, you know, I always say to my friends and compatriots that getting him in office was the baby step there's only so much the president can actually do. It's Congress that makes the laws and the Senate, and we need to be pushing our local legislators to we need to educate them on these issues, and we need to have enough of a force to move them at the risk of kicking them out of office, no matter what party they're in.
That's right.
Without that kind of action, we're not going to see any change. The change is going to have to really come below, and I think that Obama's in a position to open up doors for that change, but we still have to push it.
Yeah. Dave, anything else?
Well, Congress and the corporations that own the Congress members, I fear, we're not yet free to give up being nervous a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's absolutely right. But we have seen governors and senators and Congress people across the country coming around on this coal issue and put moratoriums on building new coal-fired power plants. The state of Kansas has done it. Maine has done it. Washington State has done it. Florida has done it. There are a number of states that have done it. And these are places where, you know, only a few years ago they never would have dreamed of that. So, and they're doing it on the grounds of climate change, understanding that building more coal-fired power plants is going to, you know, wipe out our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
At tackling climate change.
David Novak is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His documentary is Burning the Future, Coal in America. A powerful website available to you, and you can order a copy of the doc there at burningthefuture.com, burningthefuture.com. And if you call in before the end of this hour and ask a question on the air, I've got one more copy in my stash here of DVDs, and I'd be happy to send it out to you. Speaking of which, I made a trip to the post office yesterday, so if you're waiting for a DVD or a prize book from the PBC show, it is on the way, and a federal agent will be delivering it very soon. Also, the film Burning the Future is featured as part of the Ironwood Film Club. If you know what that is, you can order it as a part of your monthly package in February. And if you don't know, Google it and figure it out. David, just before Christmas, there was this massive coal ash spill, fell out, and this huge pile of coal ash from a coal-fired power plant that is part of the Tennessee Valley Authority, just gave way. And massive amounts of this toxic byproduct from burning coal was poured into the nearby river. It came out as a sludge that covered nearby farmland and had a very negative impact on the people near that power plant. We've just got about a minute before we go to the break, so give me a quick comment on the overview, and then we'll come back and talk about just how deep the impact of this spill will be.
Well, the overview is that, you know, wherever coal is burned, toxic ash is created. And that ash goes into these dry impoundments initially, because it is ash, and then they're made wet so that it doesn't take off in the air in big winds.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of becomes liquefied, and it creates this kind of a sludge or a slurry that has a mixture of dry and wet material in it. And it's loaded up with heavy metals. It's loaded up with arsenic and mercury and a number of other heavy metals that are natural byproducts of coal and the rock around coal when it is mined. And this particular break was enormous. It was many, many times bigger than the Exxon Valdez spill. And fortunately, I don't know how the press was on the West Coast, but the New York Times, the Washington Post, major press did end up covering this. And there had been spills like this before that are not covered. So that was good to see. I mean,
it took a couple of days. Part of that was the Christmas holiday, I understand. But I didn't feel we got detailed coverage immediately.
Yeah. And that may be the case. We got it very quickly here in New York, in part because they have a reporter who's on the coal beat down south.
Oh.
So these exist all over the country, everywhere there's a coal-fired power plant. And in addition to these slurry impoundments are the slurry impoundments near the mines. You know, there are hundreds of them in West Virginia alone. Any place where coal is mined, coal goes through a washing process, and that process creates a waste product, which is a sludge or a slurry or a toxic pudding that also goes into unlined impoundments, just like this one in Tennessee, and they break.
Yeah, and you show that in the film, too. I remember seeing some of those ugly pens of liquid goo,
That's right.
You just described how they wash the coal. I guess that's how they can claim clean coal. We'll take a break and return with David Novak. Your calls and comments are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Summer in Santa Cruz, you just can't beat it. It's time for friends, family, fun, and food. Whether it's an afternoon barbecue or a dining room banquet, it all begins with getting the best quality food at the best prices. For nearly 70 years, Shopper's Corner Market has delivered both. Shopper's Corner is the oldest family-owned and operated independent grocery store. It's where the locals shop.
I like their meat department. That's what I buy here.
They have a good organic selection.
Things you can't find other places.
Enjoy the friendliest service and fastest checkout at Shopper's while taking advantage of the everyday low prices on USDA choice meats, fresh local seafood, and produce.
Their produce is great. Actually, I shop around quite a few different places, but I always come back here because they have the best.
The variety of stuff you find here you don't find other places, and the service.
Shoppers has a vast assortment of cheeses and specialty foods, along with one of the best wine selections in the Monterey Bay area. Shoppers Corner, on the corner of Soquel Avenue and Brant Saporti in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at shopperscorner.com.
I shop here because of the fact I live around the corner.
Shoppers Corner, it's where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our music of the moment from R.E.M. And it's called Find the River. It's under that coal ash flow over there.
Hey now, little speedyhead. Lean on the speedometer says you have to go to task in the city. People drown and people serve. Don't be shy, just deserves only just like used to go.
We continue with filmmaker David Novak. BurningTheFuture.com is where you can get more information about this powerful documentary about coal in America. We're joined by Tim from Marina, listening on the mighty KRXA. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Peter. Hi, David. You know, David, I think I've heard you on a show before. I can't remember whose show it was, but it was pretty convincing when you were talking about the Appalachians being clear-cut for this coal.
Yeah.
I think you should, the message should get out further, because even other progressive hosts seem to be backing clean coal. I mean, this was very timely. Just the other day, I heard it on Ed Schultz's show, and he's even flying somebody out, probably one of your listeners, Peter, to see how clean it is and the land restoration and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I got Big Eddie's cell phone number. I'll call him and see if he knows what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about that because he has a really big audience, and if he's putting out that he backs it and he's seen it and it looks great.
Yeah. Go ahead, David. David, you were saying?
I was going to say, tell him to take a fight with South Wings. They're a volunteer pilot organization that takes people on environmental flights down in Appalachia.
Ed would like that. He's a pilot himself. So
yeah, southwings.org. Very easy to find them.
Okay, I'll let him know that. And anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, Tim, thank you for the call. And we'll send you a copy of the DVD. Thanks for checking into the show today. I appreciate it. Now, David, we were talking about the coal ash spill in Tennessee. Happened right before Christmas. And I watch the PBS NewsHour every night, and they did a pretty good job in their initial report. And then about 10 days ago, they did a follow-up. And I was stunned because they included some very carefully scripted comments delivered by a FLAC for the power generating company or operator. And he said, you know, no tests have shown significant pollution of the river. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what I recall him saying. And at the end of it, Jim Lehrer, without acknowledging the contradiction, said, well, the EPA has just reported serious contamination of the river, and I think he cited mercury and several other, including arsenic.
The arsenic's very high, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just floored that PBS would allow this statement to go unrebutted.
Unchallenged.
And then at the end, report the contradictory information without saying, contrary to what you just heard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. So tell us what you've learned about the tests of the water and any other contamination that is a result of this coal ash spill.
There are so many heavy metals in that ash, and it's over such a wide range of land, and it's you know, run down river as well to where it can, to where some of it can never be, you know, captured and removed. The tests are still, they're still a little, they're not inconclusive. There's still a lot of tests going on. There's also a number of independent organizations that have taken donations to go in and do testing outside of what the EPA is testing.
Mm-hmm.
So those tests are not yet completed. So there's a lot more data to come out over the course of the next few weeks. Certainly, everybody agrees that the arsenic levels are very high in this water. And what they're doing now is they're trying to test people's wells to see how much of this arsenic has actually seeped through down into people's well water.
Mm-hmm. And didn't the Bushies redefine arsenic as a vegetable or something? It's good for you.
The management and budget took care of that one.
And what are the other complications here? This is toothpaste you certainly can't get back in the tube.
No, you can't get it back in the tube. I mean, they've taken some measures to stop it from flowing downstream, you know, and those measures, as soon as they could get them in, those measures are pretty successful, but a lot of it had already gone downstream. The spill itself is over a vast acreage. There were several homes destroyed. Many homes are uninhabitable, though not destroyed. And there were a few injuries, but nothing major really to report on that side, fortunately.
Now, earlier today on the Stephanie Miller program, she got serious for a moment with Congressman Nick Rahal, a Democrat mm-hmm. from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And he briefly alluded to some legislation that he is sponsoring regarding coal ash issues. Is he an environmentalist? I guess I'm suspicious of anybody who comes from West Virginia.
Yeah, Rahal does not have a great record. He's done a few little things for the environmentalists in West Virginia, only in places where there are lawsuits going on, and it's a way, I think, it's just a way of kind of mitigating and appeasing people a little bit. But by and large, he had made some promises before he was elected that, you know, he has not come through with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I mean, the coal industry really owns the state. They own West Virginia. They have a huge presence in Kentucky government and a huge presence in the Tennessee government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
one thing I'd like to encourage your listeners to do is
please.
To go to the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
There are some great photos of this Tennessee spill.
Okay.
So a simple search within the HuffingtonPost.com, and there's also some video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's easily found.
And anything else that you've done lately we ought to know about, David?
Oh, well, real quickly, I'm actually getting ready for a big weekend in Washington, and I want all of your listeners to know about this and encourage them to come or encourage them to at least let everybody they know across the country know about this. There's a weekend, February 28th and March 1st, called Power Shift 09,
mm-hmm.
which is sponsored by the Rainforest Action Network,
oh, great.
Greenpeace, a number of organizations.
Uh-huh.
You can go to a website, Power Shift 09, and it is a week. weekend of seminars about climate change.
Great. I'm out of time, but I hope people will check that out. And, David, I thank you for the work you're doing. We'll talk to you again soon.
Terrific. Thanks.
David Novak, burningthefuture.com.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A Republican changes his mind about an Obama cabinet job.
Yeah, bottom line is this was simply a bridge too far for me.
Big blow to parents who blame vaccines for autism.
The evidence does not support a causal relationship.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. New Hampshire Senator Judd Gregg, President Obama's second pick for Commerce Secretary after Bill Richardson dropped out, abruptly withdrew this afternoon, saying he has irresolvable conflicts with administration policy. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has more.
Gregg says over the past week or two, he came to realize as a senator and former governor, he always made his own independent decisions and wouldn't be able to work for President Obama.
It really wasn't a good fit, and that I wouldn't be comfortable doing this, and that it wouldn't be fair to him to be part of a team and not be able to be 100% on the team.
Gregg said he disagreed with the president on the economy, though acknowledges he knew that going in.
The president asked me to do it. I said yes, that was my mistake, not his.
Gregg, whose replacement had already been chosen by New Hampshire's governor, says he will now serve out his term in the Senate, but not run for re-election. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer in East Peoria, Illinois. Publicly, President Obama has a subdued response to Gregg's sudden announcement.
It comes as something of a surprise.
Mr. Obama spoke to the State Journal Register newspaper. Behind the scenes, though, a source describes the White House as stunned and angry. A spokesman said once it became clear that Gregg would not support some of the president's top economic goals, they had to part ways.
The White House says it was Gregg who reached out to the president and offered his name for the job and promised to support the president's agenda. Mr. Obama was in Illinois to push the economic stimulus bill, which is expected to pass the House and Senate tomorrow. He visited the Caterpillar plant and said Caterpillar Chairman Jim Owens had told him that some laid-off workers could be rehired if the bill gets through. But later, Owens said the company will likely have more layoffs before it can start rehiring. Now this.
I love you.
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 However you say it, make sure you're heard. This Valentine's Day, Zales can help you say I love you like never before. With diamond gifts starting at the incredible price of just $99. Delight your love with a piece of jewelry that sparkles as much as she does. And discover for yourself the amazing values that Zales offers. Love rocks at Zales, America's diamond store since 1924.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the hood of your car.
Hey, don't worry about your engine, because I got it covered.
Yeah, well, you are the hood, but I'm still going to my Ford dealer.
All right, road trip.
Yeah, the Works Fuel Saver package is only $29.95 or less after a mail-in rebate.
Peanuts.
Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection.
I can't beat that. Although, I do know a guy.
No, thanks.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 33109.
The notion of a link between childhood vaccines and autism suffered a severe and perhaps fatal blow from a special federal court today.
Three lengthy, detailed rulings emphatically reject any links between vaccines containing a mercury-based preservative and autism.
I'm actually kind of blown away.
Amy Schreffler of the National Autism Association thinks politics played a role. Attorney Kevin Conway, who represents autism victim Michelle Cedillo, says the government did pull out all the stops to fight her claim.
They had 17 experts, all with good credentials, testified the vaccines had nothing to do with autism, and their fear that people would be afraid to get vaccines.
Johns Hopkins vaccine safety expert Neil Halsey says science supports the rulings.
It is unfortunate that so many people have been led to believe they finally had found an answer.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The rulings are reassuring for parents reluctant to have their children vaccinated, but they're a deep disappointment to thousands of families hoping to win compensation for their children's disabilities.
Mark, do you want to say anything at all?
Two Pennsylvania judges left the federal courthouse in Scranton today after admitting they funneled juvenile offenders to private detention centers in exchange for millions in kickbacks. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has the background.
When Lauren Transu's daughter Hillary appeared in court, charged with creating a MySpace page making fun of a school principal, the teen was quickly sentenced to boot camp.
Handcuffed behind her back. They handcuffed her and took her out.
Her mother could only watch horrified.
I begged them, please, can I just say goodbye? Can I just talk to her? Anything? No.
Attorney Marsha Levick represents hundreds of other teens sentenced by the two judges.
Thousands of lives have been affected by corruption and greed. It's something that I believe is unprecedented. I don't think we've seen it before in the justice system, and I certainly don't hope we'll see it again.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Thanks for seeing us, Doctor.
Danny's warm. Let's get a temperature.
I want the Star Wars thermometer.
Absolutely, Danny.
What kind of thermometer is that?
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is what he means. Just a gentle scan across the forehead gives a fast, accurate reading. We're using it on all our patients now. It's good for the whole family. No more ears or rears.
Wowee, Mom, can we get one, too? I can't wait to take everyone's temperature.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, a better thermometer. Home model available at Walmart, Walgreens, Costco, Sam's Club, Babies R Us, and Toys R Us.
This Valentine's Day, there are two things you don't want to break: her heart and your budget. So go to Walgreens. With great prices on everything from boxed candy to fragrances and cards, Walgreens has more than enough love to go around. Everything to make your loved one's day. And with thousands of convenient locations, many open 24 hours, Walgreens is just around the corner. So there's one more thing you'll save: time. In every way, Valentine's is sweeter than Walgreens.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And a Peter B. shout-out to our weekend listeners in Seattle on AM 1090 KPTK. And in Portland, AM 620 KPOJ. It's great to have you with us. Obama is trying to wrestle with cleaning up the series of mistakes that Bush et al. Made in Iraq. But is he compounding the problems in Afghanistan? That's among the issues we'll explore this hour with our contributor on veterans and military matters, Scott Dick. He served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army at the rank of major, and we just wrestled him out of his sick bed. You in the thick of it there, Scott?
Well, I'm recovering. I went in last night, but I took a bunch of time off, and I got what you gave me over the radio last time I talked to you.
We didn't even kiss.
I know. It's through, you know, radio telepathy, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
it's nasty, and I'm just glad I feel better.
Well, it is a doozy, and I'm into my third week of this, and it's still icky. I'll just leave it at that and won't bore people with grisly details, but... hang in there, and my drug of choice is scotch, and I only use it in the evenings, but I find it helpful in these kinds of conditions.
I'll get a prescription for that and move and try it.
Okay, good. Well, Scott, once again, I want to start off in Afghanistan and discuss the situation there. A big poke in the eye to Richard Holbrooke, the new envoy for that region, who is on his way over from Pakistan. And on Wednesday, a group of Taliban fighters, somewhere between 5 and 7 of them, attacked the Justice Ministry in Kabul. Now, this is a brazen assault, and they really did a number. They were able to stay alive for about an hour, and more than 10 Afghan troops or police officers were killed, and apparently a couple of innocent bystanders as well. A total of 20 were killed, and the Taliban fighters, as I said, held their own for quite a while. And this is quite a broadside, quite a poke in the eye. To just remind people, including the new president of the United States, how potent the Taliban is in Afghanistan.
Well, they're getting support from just about everywhere, from Pakistan. I'm just reading a report now that says the GAO found that of the 242,000, Peter, 242,000, I didn't know that he had that many troops in Afghanistan, weapons that the U.S. recently provided to Afghanistan, the DOD hasn't made a complete inventory of more than a third of them.
Hmm.
So there's no way that they can screen the troops that they have, how much of that weapons, how many of those weapons and how much money and so-called support for the government is it being funneled into for the Taliban from the Afghani U.S. side, and how much is that coming from Pakistan. Karzai came out and said a couple days ago and said, we just have to go into negotiations with the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to claim that Afghanistan, or Karzai said, we're not a narco state, but they still provide something like, what is it, 6/10 of the world's opium and heroin?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so they're not a narco state, Peter, but they just provide the more heroin and opium than any other country in the planet.
Well, the utility of Hamid Karzai appears to be reaching the point of diminishing returns. He has an election later this year. And it'll be interesting to see how Obama and the team play it. There is a general, I had his name here, but I don't have the clipping right in front of me, but who has been named as the new ambassador to Afghanistan. And so, you know, together with the other folks and this new envoy, he's calling himself a representative, Richard Holbrooke. It remains to be seen if they find a way to shuffle Karzai off to the side of the stage. And there have been open discussions, particularly following Obama's trip to visit the Joint Chiefs, that we may abandon our nation-building goals and the effort to prop up the Karzai government and really focus in a more limited manner on counterterrorism.
Well, I don't know what that means. Because if you prop up Karzai and keep him alive through Blackwater or through U.S. support directly by providing a ring of troops, that is counterterrorism.
Hmm.
Because it's not going to be a conventional army that comes in and takes him out. See, this is the crazy place that we put ourselves in. We don't know what the hell we're doing in Afghanistan. The whole purpose of going to Afghanistan was to get Osama bin Laden. Wasn't it, Peter? I
remember that. Yeah, that was the idea.
And then we're gonna eliminate, the centerpiece, the Schwerpunkt of the Taliban, the international dark forces of terrorism. And, you know, what is so ridiculous?
Mm-hmm.
It's that we invaded a country that did us no harm, and we practically exhausted. Oh no, not practically. We have exhausted ourselves there. We're in the worst economic situation since the Great Depression. And the Republicans are still mounting an effort to undercut President Obama's strategy for getting us out of Iraq let alone doing anything but escalating in Afghanistan. And they're going to try to pin the war on the loss of Afghanistan on President Obama, but it's not his war to lose.
Well, and let me just mix up a little more here into the stew, because Thursday's New York Times has this story with a headline, Obama weighs adding troops in Afghanistan as overall strategy waits. And so they're doing a full review of the strategy. I support that. I hope they come up with a whole different approach, because the idea of building on the failed ideas of the Bush administration doesn't offer me anything. And I really think that it makes the most sense to figure out what the plan is before you deploy one additional American soldier to that country.
Well, that makes sense, except that they need to do something about force protection. Although casualties are down, I think we go into some kind of stalemate where we just sit and wait to be attacked by the Taliban and see how many casualties we can keep from happening. But that's no way to operate anything. That's just a series of bipedal targets, live, American, two-legged targets. And it's crazy. And Bush remains responsible. I've said this on my show, and I just want to keep saying it, Peter. I'm not going to let you forget it. Whatever happens, whatever fails in Iraq, whatever bloodbath, panic, murder, mayhem occurs, it's George Bush's fault. There is no way that anyone logically or intelligently can pin this on Barack Obama, no matter what he does. This is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
they're going to try to claim that it's his fault. What if he would have put in, remember Vietnam, 500,000 troops, but if we would have put in 560,000, then we would have won the war. Or maybe 580, and then 600, then a million. Well, we did all that. We still won.
Yeah, yeah. Scott Dick is with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. He's with us this entire hour. And here's Robert Gates, the Republican holdover defense secretary. He said on Tuesday that he'd presented options to Obama that give him several ways of going forward, and added he expected a determination in the course of the next few days. And the Pentagon spokesperson, Jeff Morrell, said that Obama could make a decision about one, two, none, or all of the options being offered, but they don't define what those options are, at least not for public consumption. So clearly a review is underway. And I do understand your point that, for example, Dan Rather's recent reports from the Afghan-Pakistani border showed that we have a very thin line. I think he said there were 25 soldiers who were supposed to patrol like a 300-mile area of border. And so, yes, I can understand that we are too thin there for what we are attempting to do. But I still feel that before we take troops out of Iraq, many of whom have been stop-loss there for two or three tours, and ship them to Afghanistan, that we have to have a clear policy plan and set of strategies. And without that, I really simply can't support, even on the basis of trying to beef up and protect those who are already there, I simply can't support it, Scott.
No, I look at the 25 troops to guard 300 miles. That's normally at least a division element to hold that much ground, because patrolling, Peter, doesn't mean anything, because as soon as the patrol leaves, then you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the classic occupying force with occupiers with too few forces. The indigenous people do whatever they want to do until you come back, and then they play nice or they kill you. And then the cat-and-mouse game continues.
Mm-hmm.
And, it wouldn't be infeasible. Oh, by the way, the Pentagon is sending a team to investigate in Afghanistan, by the way. It's a six-man team or something, and they go investigate to see if they're doing enough to train and equip local security forces. So it may be decided that they need to turn this mission over to the CIA and run it as a CIA mission, and keep Karzai in power. We have vast experience doing that, and we know how to do that, and we know how to kill, maim, antagonize, purchase the opposition, and maybe that's what the mission is going to just decay into.
Well, without getting deep into, real cynicism here, we have a situation there where it is a series of warlords who control individual pockets of Pakistan I'm sorry, of Afghanistan, who are really running the country. And, you know, as long as we pretend that Karzai is in charge and that propping him up will pacify the country and turn it into some sort of democracy is a farce. And so we will have to get realistic, and without going totally to Dick Cheney's dark side, I certainly can accept the notion that there is no military solution to whatever the problems are in Afghanistan.
And you won't be able to deliver a political solution, Peter, without a lot of security, because there in Afghanistan, if they don't like your policies, if you go against their traditions, they don't argue with you in court. They don't sue you and take you to court for freedom of speech. They don't. They just kill you.
Yeah.
If they don't want little girls going to school, they throw acid in their faces, mm-hmm. and they kill their teachers. And if they don't like women in politics, they just kill them.
Yeah. Scott, we'll take a break. You can blow your nose. We'll be right back. Scott Dick with me this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. What do you think? What do you think about this idea of sending troops to Afghanistan and then finalizing the plans for those troops? I don't get it. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the same number.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. In Castroville, we have a traffic collision on Holyoke Way at Charter Oak Boulevard. And in Santa Cruz, on Highway 17, just south of Glenwood Drive, we have a collision with an ambulance responding. Also, on Highway 9, just north of San Lorenzo Valley High School, we have a collision with no details. taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area on Highway 152 at Costa de Fruta Parkway. We have a no-injury collision. And on Watsonville Road at Hayes Lane, a big rig is stuck in the mud there. Also in Hollister-Gilroy on Highway 152 just west of Bell Station Road, there's a dog in the road, so look out for him. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our hour devoted to military and veterans issues. Scott Dick is with us, and you can join in too, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Andy from New York knows how to get through. You're on the air, Andy. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
And Scott, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
All right. I was just wanted to comment that I was listening to the Diane Reams show. I think it was on February 2nd. They had on somebody from McClatchy, the American Center for Progress, actually Lawrence Korb, which is, you would think would be pretty good, and somebody from a peace group. And they were talking about Karzai, and I was just about losing it, as I usually do when I listen to that show. That, you know, it's not like the Russians. The Russians actually installed somebody there. But, you know, Karzai was freely elected. He's backed by the people.
Oh, yeah?
Right? You got it. You know, he would never be there without us protecting him, without us with the airplanes flying him around the country with the Blackwater guards.
Yeah.
He's just a puppet. He has no control over anything. And then I was reading the other day where...
But Andy, he's a styling guy. He's got the best cape collection in the whole wide world.
And he went to Harvard.
Yeah, I love those forest green colors that he wears.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
So Andy, you're not buying that he was freely elected by the Afghan people and he has their support.
But he's totally in denial. No corruption here. This is not a narco state.
Yep, no,
zero corruption.
No corruption, no drug problem, and the Taliban, oh, yeah, we'll fix it.
And they're missing a third of the weapons we just gave them, too. So no corruption. There's no leakage in the bank, state banking system. There's no possible way that the Pakistanis and the Afghanis are in collusion with the Taliban, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In the meantime, we're there, and the way that we do this, Peter, is we pump millions, if not hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars into I was going to say the economy, but I mean the economy of the top 10% wealthiest people, the elite, and try to keep them in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that way they can hire their own warlords and their own guards and make their own associations. That was what we did in Bosnia.
Well, and it's consistent with the Chicago School and trickle-down economics.
Right.
Yeah, it's such a rot that we've got there, and such a hole we've got us into. It's amazing.
Well, and Obama has this opportunity, and the window is short here. He can say, you know, before I got here and assessed the situation and had a frank talk with the Joint Chiefs of Staff about the totally bankrupt set of policies that Bush imposed in our attempt to occupy Afghanistan, I have to rethink. And I am calling for a total review, and I'm going to buy some time here. And if he wants to put one brigade in there for force protection, that might be a reasonable thing to do. But beyond that, to commit more American forces when it's clear we don't have any idea of what they're going to do or how we're going to extricate them from there. And Gates is talking about 8-10 years, a long slog. I'm sorry, we don't have the stomach for a slog, we don't have the money for a slog, and there is no real national interest of the United States served by continuing to prop up the government in Kabul. If the goal is to eradicate Al-Qaeda and to try to put a dent into the Taliban, even that doesn't really speak to a large military deployment. Those are efforts that are probably better left, as Scott alluded earlier, to the CIA.
Right. It's just such a shame, like you say, when they do these aerial bombings with the smart bombs and everything, and they're good at is killing wedding parties. They've created such hate and animosity for the and who's going to pay the price but the American troop on the boots on the ground?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to see another Russian situation.
We should do an aerial distribution of DVDs of My Big Fat Greek Wedding instead of bombing wedding parties.
Yeah.
Might be better received. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, my point about, I made this point a couple days ago, these aerially delivered weapons are what are rightfully called area weapons. And they have, those 500-pound bombs have 150-meter killing radiuses. So just imagine putting, 15 or 20 or 100 people in a football field, and you have a really good chance of killing every one of them that are standing in that football field square, not just rectangular. So the idea that we can use, it's the same as Israelis using these weapons to take out the mortarmen or the guys launching missiles against Israel, it's not possible. Mm-hmm. They're not that accurate. And even if they were laser-guided, they still have a 150-meter killing rate. It's not like they go out and they go, oh, Hamas? Taliban?
Right.
No? And then they go into the shrapnel, flies off to the next person, kills them.
Andy, thanks for the call. Scott, stay with us. And I want to add somebody else to the sack list right next to General Odierno. And his name's David Petraeus. I'll tell you why on the other side.
Cool.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A chance to prove who's right. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Remember Henrietta Hughes?
I have an urgent need.
She stood up during the Obama town hall in Fort Myers and said her family was living in a car.
We need something more than the vehicle and the parks to go to. We need our own kitchen and our own bathroom. Please help.
Commentators couldn't resist comparing her to the woman in the Gospel of Luke who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Not quite. All the president could do was have a staffer take her name and give her a hug. But the staffer needn't bother now.
She needs a place to stay. I have a place to provide, and it's just the right thing to do.
That's Shanae Thompson, the wife of a Republican state legislator in Florida. She offered Henrietta a vacant house in excellent condition on a huge lot, rent-free, for as long as she needs it. Now, Republicans have made it clear that they hate this stimulus bill. They've dubbed it porculous, and that's fine. But the Republican family in Florida actually stepped up and did something. Today, there is one less homeless person needing government help. So now consider this. All the southern states, from South Carolina to Texas, are run by Republican governors. Together, they represent a regional economy about the size of China. Imagine if all of them simply boycotted the stimulus, just refused to accept any of the pork, whether it's for bridges, homelessness, or art. If they end up creating more jobs than the states that do take the money, we would finally know whose economic philosophy actually works. Now this.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nyken Robinson. 4-on-3 up the left side, Jamal Boykin, the open floor, goes in and Vidy and scores!
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal Basketball, right here on your home for the Bears.
Stanford will be at the Haas Pavilion Saturday, February 14th at 1:30. You can hear the game right here on KRXA 540.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge.
Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather. An uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's Charles Darwin's 200th birthday. Take a creationist out in the wilderness on a little survival quest. See if they are the fittest. Talking military and veterans matters with Scott Dick. He's our regular contributor on these issues, and you can call in anytime between now and the top of the hour. 888-5 Peter B is our number. 888-573-8372. Scott, in recent weeks, as you've joined me on the program, we've called for the resignation of Ray Odierno. He is the general who's running the Iraq operation these days. He replaced General Petraeus when he got promoted to CENTCOM commander.
Right.
And the reason, as we have articulated, is that Odierno is clearly obstructing the will of the new president to withdraw our forces from Iraq on a certain timeline. And now we heard earlier this week that General Petraeus was responsible for a leak that prompted news organizations to say that it may not be possible or feasible to remove troops on the 2 brigades a month plan that Obama articulated during the campaign. And I consider this to be insubordination. And I need a little more proof that Petraeus actually did this before I firmly call for his head. But if it is true, then I think that he should resign. And that he should not pretend that he can carry out the mission of this new president while in the back room and the back channels he is obstructing the very same policies.
Right, two things. This is not just Odierno going off the reservation of Petraeus amazingly thinking the same thing. This is a concerted effort by conservatives like Keane, who's the one who's retired four-star general, who's Petraeus' mentor, and who sold the surge with Fred Kagan to the president as a strategy, and the guy doesn't even know that, you know, it's a tactical reinforcement, who's been described as not one of the brightest generals ever to walk the face of the earth. He's definitely an ideologue. So he's got Odierno and Petraeus on board to create this, to craft this second plan, so they can say that, and then leak it, so they can say if the president's plan doesn't work, it'll give conservatives something to run on, and they pointed at Petraeus for president for 2012. If that's the case, he should resign now in good conscience and get out of the military, because this is definitely a problem for the United States of American democracy. Generals are supposed to be apolitical, and when they begin to feel their political oaths, it's time to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to make a statement in protest, that's the way a real man does it. He doesn't snipe from behind his staff officers like a little pissant. He comes out all barrels blazing. He resigns in protest against the president's strategy, and then takes up his political mantle. Until then, he needs to keep his mouth shut and say, yes, sir, and execute the president's plan.
Yeah. Well put. Well, and there's been remarkable little backlash to this report. I mean, it was kind of a one-day story, and I haven't seen any follow-up on it.
I haven't either, and that concerns me. I know that the president has some pretty smart people who have their ear to the ground, and he's got some good guys like Jones working directly for him. I'm surprised that General Jones, his foreign policy or military advisor, didn't say, you know what, Petraeus needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have already done that. And the consultations may be going on, and Petraeus thinks he may have tapped down through that minefield when he doesn't know that when, you know, it's off the media radar screen, that he gets to axe. Now, I'm pretty positive that President Obama would not do it the same way that Bush did, or Cheney did, or Rumsfeld did, by just renaming his replacement. So it'd be interesting to see what he does. But Petraeus, well, then there's a second report, Peter, I'm sure you saw it, where they think, I mean, there's some speculation by reporters that Petraeus leaked the his report on Iraq because he was, what's the right word, piqued that President Obama seemed to be getting more press attention than he was.
Ooh.
Now, that's a disease.
Yeah, that is.
That's a disease that they need to take that general, need to send him over to the Republican Party where he belongs so he can get his ideology out there for everybody to see. I can't believe he thinks that we should remain one. Not, let me rephrase that. But you'd have to be an idiot to think that by staying 1 year longer, 2 years longer, or 6 months longer, that somehow Iraq is going to become this free, formed, functioning democracy that they envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be an Islamic version of democracy.
And, Scott, I come at this a little more from a political than a military perspective, and I would say that politically it would be a very smart move for Obama in these early months to make an example of Petraeus, Odierno, or some other military brass who crosses the line. Because there is this, I think, perception that Democrats and Democrats who haven't served, they, you know, Bush didn't serve either, obviously, did Cheney. But because the Republicans are seen as so tied to the defense establishment and pander to them at every opportunity, there is this other perception that Democrats are weak on foreign policy, weak on defense, and weak on really running the Pentagon.
Right.
And I think it would be a really good move, particularly since he has made all these conciliatory approaches to Republicans on domestic policy, the stimulus package and others, and because he has kept Bob Gates there, that he needs to show that he is not a man to be trifled with and that he expects loyal soldiers to be just that.
Well, he needs to come out with something that goes along the lines of, I may be an inexperienced president and I may never have served, but I know when somebody can't read a regulation and can't follow orders. And the guy that can't follow orders is Petraeus. I want to remind him and everybody out there that civilians run the military, not the other way around. And by the virtue of him floating this alternative plan, along with General Odierno floating the alternative plan, there is something systematically wrong, or systemically wrong, in that chain of command, and I'm going to fix it and replace him with generals who are free thinkers, but they also understand the civilian chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And then he's done. And he doesn't look like he's vindictive like Bush and Cheney. I mean, talk about worms sniping from behind their staff officers. They don't fire Shinseki. They just name his replacement, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do think it's time for an assertion here, and I hope that that will occur. Let's take a phone call here. It's Jackie in Watsonville. Hey, Jackie, you're on with Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. and hi, Scott. Listen, I have something I want to ask Scott. I've always been really interested in Leslie Clark, and I want to know what Scott thinks about him, and also, was he ever considered at all, do you think, for the Obama cabinet? Now, I'm still wondering why he was dropped from the way back when, from the Clinton, the whole thing that was going on with Clinton. You know, I don't know. He just started, they liked him, they loved him, and then he sort of faded out. I know he is a free thinker, I think, but I want to know what Scott thinks about him.
All right, Scott, go ahead.
Well, I had a chance to work for him briefly, and I briefly interacted with him once during an exercise in the middle of the night, and I was on a mission to get an order change from division. He spent, after spending about 40 minutes trying to explain it to this major division who couldn't understand plain English, he grasped the problem and in 5 minutes said, okay, execute, and made him fix it, which didn't endear me with the division staff, but it made me really thankful that this guy was in charge of the division at the time.
Yeah.
And so he can think, he understands, he's got a mind, he's a Rhodes Scholar, he's just every bit as smart as Bill Clinton, and I think he's kept it zipped up. I've never heard anything otherwise. So he is a Democrat, and he's political now that he's retired. And, of course, you know, he ran for president. And I don't know what happened. He was roommates, actually, with Bill Clinton.
I didn't know that.
At Oxford.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he and Richard Holbrooke go way back. I don't know, Peter, if you remember that incident where that convoy that they were in Bosnia went off the road.
Right.
And a couple soldiers were killed. And Holbrooke and this four-star general climbed down the side of the ravine to help rescue the soldiers that were still alive and trapped inside the vehicle. So, you know, neither one of these guys are wimps. And I don't know if he's taken a break. He, you know, sometimes family members get sick. We don't know the status of his family.
Well, I think he's in. I heard him talk once, and it seems to me that he's in business, or he's making speeches, or he's doing. No, I don't think he's making speeches. I think he's in some kind of a business. But it seems to me that if he's that good, that they would, you know, try to call him back or do something. You know, but I haven't heard about him at all, and about. Geez, I don't know, 6 months or something.
Well, he's been around. I've seen him occasionally interviewed on television. And let me just do a little Google here. I believe he's on some corporate boards.
Yeah,
and
generals aren't.
I think that, well, but as I recall, he's on some unusual ones that have to do with green jobs and, you know, clean energy.
But isn't it a shame to have all that brain power, you know? I mean, we need all we can get, I think.
Well, and back in 04, he really was a proxy. He was running to, you know, essentially represent the Clinton wing of the Democratic Party.
But then they dropped him like a hot potato, and I never found out why. And I was hoping to find out.
Okay. So, let's see. He's a retired general, valedictorian of West Point, Rhodes Scholar.
Number one at West Point is a huge deal. Because they only take smart people. You have to have certainly giantly high SAT scores. You have to have a really hot record in high school to be and compete. And there are engineering, math, calculus majors there. So to be number one in your class is saying something.
Yeah, well, I think it would be nice to have him back myself.
I'm really surprised he's not in some policy position somewhere in the Obama administration. But, you know, all these positions have not been filled.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him as Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Well, I'm glad that you think so highly of him, because I value your opinion as I do Peter's. Okay, I'll get off now. Thanks
all right,
a lot
thanks,
for
Jackie.
Answering that question.
I can't. I'm at Wikipedia, and what they say is that he is, you know, working in the private sector. He has Wesley K. Clark and Associates. But I don't see a specific company or group that he's working with here. It's a very lengthy entry here, and much of it is very impressive. But I don't know exactly who he's working for or on behalf of right now. So very interesting. Jackie, thank you for that. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us here with Scott Dick and Peter B. And, Scott, why don't we take our break now? Because I know you want to talk about the defense budget, and that'll take a little bit. So we'll roll through the break here and come right back. And if people want to join us, there are lines available between now and the top of the hour. 888-5, Peter B. And my personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. I'd love to hear from you.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. We're monitoring some incidents from earlier in the day. The first one is in Castroville. We have a collision on Holyoke Way at Charter Oak Boulevard. And in Santa Cruz on Highway 17, just south of Glenwood Drive, we have a collision with an ambulance responding. And on Highway 9, just north of San Lorenzo Valley High School, we have a no-injury collision.
The $64,000 question.
I've got a word or two to say about the things that you do.
Hi, it's Bob Oliver with the Quantum Leap and the $64,000 question. Where do you go to get a free checking account, no minimum balance, and they give you free money? And the answer is Wachovia Bank. In the Sand Dollar Shopping Center in Sand City, across from Borders. Wow, I got a lot of advertising in there. Remember, you're going to get money, free money, just by mentioning my name, Bob Oliver, at Wachovia Bank. Free money, free checking, and no minimum balance. Think for yourself. The Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Your bleeding heart and let Pat Buchanan in.
Just about 10 minutes before the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us, 888-5, Peter B. is the number to use. Scott Dick is with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Hey, Scott, just because I had the computer out here, I logged onto the Googles and entered defense budget, and your buddy Robert Kagan comes up with a Washington Post commentary saying, no time to be cutting the defense budget.
Yeah, you know, he's not the only scumbag conservative doing that too, Peter. And it's the gloves that have to come off because they've done nothing but try to stick it to the president. And they're based on the knowing that American people don't follow these subjects closely. They can tell a lie or a near lie and get away with it because nobody calls them on it, or very few people call them on it.
Mm-hmm.
Max Boot wrote the same thing and quoted, and the way he did it was by writing that, here, let me just read this paragraph to you, Peter. Yet at the same time, this is Max Boot, and this is an online. It's called Obama's Ill-Considered Defense Cut. Yet at the same time that Obama and the congressional Democrats are throwing money at their constituencies, it appears that they are stifling the most important government department, the Department of Defense. According to news reports, the Obama administration has asked the military's Joint Chiefs of Staff to cut the Pentagon's budget request for the fiscal year 2010 by more than 10%, about $55 billion. Now, guess what?
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I know it's a lie is because I was bumped across this little bit here. Conservatives, and this is coming out of the Pentagon, and this is the problem with keeping Bob Gates in the Department of Defense. He hasn't, when he left, he has to take all of his cronies with him, and a new guy brings in his cronies.
Right.
So Pentagon officials and congressional conservatives are already trying to portray the OMB number as a cut by comparing it to a $584 billion draft fiscal 2010 budget request compiled last fall by the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I see.
Guess what? That report was never released. It's seen as an effort by the chiefs to pressure Obama to drastically increase defense spending or be forced to defend a reluctance to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're asking for $527 billion. That was the amount recommended by George Bush and George Bush administration officials. The same number.
Well, and will they regularize the budget process or continue to use the Enron accounting to keep the cost of Iraq and Afghanistan off the books?
Oh, this doesn't include war funding. This is completely off. This is the only the Defense Department non-war spending. So it seems like it's not not just Petraeus he needs to calibrate. He may have to go back down to the Department of Defense, get those knuckleheads and the secretary in one room and really read them the Riot Act. He can do it privately. And if they don't like it, Peter, they can resign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I don't think he's really understanding. This kind of staff officer treason can really create big problems for him down the road. And this is what these are staff guys who are Bushies and Bush loyalists, and they're putting the screws to the budget numbers and releasing information and doing all that. Gates probably doesn't have anything to do with this, but it's all his underlings that are still in the Bush administration mind pick. They're still loyalists. They're still enablers. They're still Bush. I almost said this had a different word. Scumbag. So he needs to get this under control, too. And you see that he's already taken the heat from the likes of Max Boot, which is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, though he likes to think he is, and others who say that, well, he's going to cut defense spending. It's such a lie. It makes me angry.
Well, and it's interesting because there's been a lot of discussion about projections of the overall deficit for this fiscal year, which ends at the end of June. And that would... No, I'm sorry. The federal is October.
October,
yeah,
right.
I had that wrong. So it's, the state is June, and the federal budget ends with
September 30th.
September 30th, yeah. So they are projecting huge deficits because of the stimulus package and the lower revenues that are coming into government, all very obvious. But they are not yet factoring in the next round of supplementals or a commensurate increase in the Pentagon budget itself to cover the cost of Iraq and Afghanistan. As I recall, Pelosi jammed through a bill last May that funded it all through about June of this year. So somewhere in the next couple of months, we're going to see another supplemental pop up. And it may be a little less than the last one because we're looking at a declining troop commitment in Iraq. But given the expectation of an increase in Afghanistan, it's probably going to be a wash. And once again, we're going to be sitting still for another $100 or $150 billion for these wars.
Well, I'm thinking maybe that the president has, it just dawned on me, Peter, maybe he's going to fund two brigades a month withdrawal from Iraq and let Odierno handle the budget. I just thought of that. Hey, by the way, this is what we're going to fund. We're going to fund for the next year declining two brigades a month. So you have to deal with it. Deal with it, stud. Maybe that's the way he's going to do it and leave Odierno right there. But this other thing, this puts to rest the lie that guys like Max Boot and Kagan and the rest of these are not shields for Bush, for President Bush and his ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Because for him to write that he's asking for a budget decrease is a total lie. And the numbers that Bush, you didn't see one of these idiots write that the $527 billion that Bush and Cheney wanted was a cut, was too low. And now, because that's the number that Obama's going to use, then all of a sudden it's a cut. And, you know, I don't believe in giving the Joint Chiefs what they want because the whole budget process is made to ask for Mars and Moon and Neptune and Saturn and see if you can get, you know, into the ionosphere. You ask for everything you could possibly ever want, gold-plated toilet seats for your jets, and see what you get.
All right, let's talk to Michael in Carmel Valley. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air.
Well, Peter, you know how upset I get about all the lying going on, and thank both of you for keeping on the subject. You do an amazing job. But my experience with the military goes back to another war, another time, but it's almost perpetual. You're talking about the toughest club outside the Chinese high command.
Mm-hmm.
And to change it, the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, is going to have to knock over a couple of these bowling pins sooner or later.
Well, I'd like to see that, and I'd like to see it sooner so he can set the tone.
I think I'm just part of that wave that suggests, I'm just the one caller representing Lord knows how many others that is already feeling that it's coming. It's got to come.
Yeah.
Because something has got to change.
All right.
Just got to change. The lack of accountability. They talk about a military budget and the what I call the military-industrial complex. If if we could get at the bottom of what they waste, we wouldn't be talking about the things we're talking about right now.
Well, or just the trillions that are missing that they have acknowledged. Thank you, Michael. I want to jump to Nancy in Winters. Go ahead, Nancy. You get just less than a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious. A friend of mine is convinced that the military is going to try to have a coup or take over. And I'm just curious, considering all the things you've been talking about, what do you guys think?
No, that's not, I don't think that's possible. There's too many smart people in there. They know the ramifications of that. I think they're related to the people who thought that George Bush was going to allow this election to happen either. I'm not worried about the military. There's too many guys out there that are really idealists. They're committed to the United States and the Constitution. And, you know, they're the NCOs and the colonels and the generals. And the Joint Chiefs may kick and scream, but, you know, they've done that since what's the generals that was relieved by?
MacArthur.
MacArthur. So, you know, they've all played, they have huge egos, they think they're the smartest guys on the whole planet, and it takes a civilian to come along and say, guess what, you may be the smartest guy, but I'm still your boss, you're fired.
Thank you, Nancy.
Bye.
And Scott, thank you. A little scotch on that throat whenever you're ready, okay?
Thanks, Pete, I really appreciate it.
You bet, I'll talk to you soon. Scott Dick, here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum taking your calls.
Been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Another Obama cabinet nominee has dropped out. New Hampshire Senator Judd Gregg, a Republican, says bridging the gap between his philosophy and the administration's is a bridge too far. More from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The stunning decision by Gregg came as the stimulus debate intensified, and he says he realized working as a fiscally conservative Republican in the president's cabinet would mean he could no longer be independent.
It's just that I don't feel I can do it, and it's that simple. And it's got nothing to do with the president at all.
Gregg said he made a mistake to accept the president's appointment in the first place and said Mr. Obama should have a commerce secretary who'll support him 100% of the time. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president was in Illinois when the news broke. His first public comment was in an interview with the State Journal Register.
It comes as something of a surprise because the truth is, Mr. Gregg approached us with interest and seemed enthusiastic.
The White House says Gregg told Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel about his change of heart on Monday and met with the president yesterday. Mr. Obama says he'll keep making efforts to build bipartisan consensus. A special federal court ruled today that there's no evidence that childhood vaccines can cause autism. But skeptics remain skeptical. Rita Schreffler is executive director of the National Autism Association.
We all know there's more lobbyists on Capitol Hill than there are congressmen and senators. And the pharmaceutical industry is very, very powerful. And I think we're seeing an example of that.
The court expressed sympathy for autistic children and their families, but said they've been misled to believe there's a link to vaccines. Two Pennsylvania judges admitted today that they took millions in kickbacks to send youthful offenders to privately run boot camps. 15-year-old Bree Wallace was among them.
All the lawyers I had talked to said that I didn't deserve to go, and I now believe that I didn't deserve to go. So I kind of feel violated in that sense. I kind of feel used in a way just for money.
Her offense? Posting a threatening message on MySpace. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports there's a new controversy involving Beverly Hills fertility expert Michael Kamrava.
He was the doctor who implanted embryos into Nadia Suleiman, resulting in the birth of her octuplets. Now the Los Angeles Times reports the same doctor has implanted embryos into a 49-year-old woman. She is now pregnant with quadruplets. The doctor is under investigation for his role in the octuplets' birth, and there may be questions about this latest multiple pregnancy. Another doctor tells the newspaper it's potentially dangerous because the mother is nearly 50. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The paper says the woman has three grown children from her first marriage but wanted another child with her second husband, who's in his early 30s. On Wall Street, a mixed bag. The Dow Industrials down 6 points to close at 79.32. The Nasdaq gained 11 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great. Totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of beautiful Behr paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of Behr paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through 216, U.S. only. See store for details.
It's a buyer's market in real estate, or rather a qualified buyer's market with lower home prices and falling mortgage rates. CBS News correspondent Peter King takes a look.
Bankrate.com says mortgage rates fell by more than a third of a point last week, continuing a trend that has meant a bonanza for mortgage brokers like Louis DiPaolo.
We had our best January ever, which is truly amazing in this market.
But DiPaolo says the days of easy mortgages are long gone.
It was so lenient that we were making loans in the mortgage industry that didn't make sense. There was no fiscal responsibility.
He says credit will stay tight, but those with good credit history will come out ahead with new homes. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The corporate jet has become a symbol of excess, but that's not good for business at Cessna and Hawker Beechcraft. Both manufacturers have new marketing campaigns aimed at executives. One Cessna ad says, "Timidity didn't get you this far. True visionaries will continue to fly." I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
However you say it, make sure you're heard. This Valentine's Day, Zales can help you say I love you like never before. With diamond gifts starting at the incredible price of just $99. Delight your love with a piece of jewelry that sparkles as much as she does. And discover for yourself the amazing values that Zales offers. Love rocks at Zales, America's diamond store since 1924.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the hood of your car.
Hey, don't worry about your engine, because I got it covered.
Yeah, well, you are the hood, but I'm still going to my Ford dealer.
All right, road trip.
Yeah, the Works Fuel Saver package is only $29.95 or less after a mail-in rebate.
Peanuts.
Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection.
I can't beat that, although I do know a guy.
No, thanks.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 3/31/09.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter V. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter V's America.
Yes, share your comments, your views, and your voice. It's the Free Speed Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open for you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Call me now.
All programs.
Oh, no, we're on a legit satellite.
You're living, catching in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the life. Radio cast on pirate satellite.
I I have no agenda. I'll accept your comments on any topic, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Talk about the stimulus, about Feinstein and net neutrality, about clean coal, or about the military issues we just discussed last hour with Scott Dick. And I have to say that it's not too often that I talk about my own industry, broadcasting, but there's a lot going on right now that I think you'd like to know about. First and foremost, for Progressive Talk listeners, you might like to know that Tom Hartman is leaving Air America at the end of February. And don't worry, he's not ending his show. It will continue seamlessly. But he's been an Air America program for about 3 years now. And the contract expired, and Tom has told me, without asking for confidence on these issues, just that he was in the process of renegotiating and really didn't get what he wanted. So he has signed with Dial Global, which is the company that syndicates Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and the Bill Press Show, and they also provide the satellite services that distribute the Peter B. Collins Show. And so that's a very interesting move. It's great for Tom Hartman. Tom and I are friends, and he's somebody I have a great deal of respect for in this Progressive Talk arena. And I certainly wish him the best in his new incarnation. Now, there are other moves that are unsettling. Because Rachel Maddow did not really re-sign with Air America in the same way that she had in the past. And Air America continues to distribute the Rachel Maddow radio program, but it is audio outtakes, audio tracks from her television program on MSNBC. And as a result, when you hear her show today, it's actually from yesterday's television show. I don't know how they handle Mondays, but that's what has transpired there. And it leaves Air America with very little. They lost Randy Rhodes over a year ago. And the other programs they have not gained traction in national distribution. There is the Lionel program, and Lionel just lost two key affiliates in Miami and Washington, D.C. due to format changes. And they also offer the Ron Kuby program, and I have to admit I've only heard him once or twice. And he is a New York-based host who is on primarily in New York, I think maybe one other station around the country. And recently, Air America launched the Ron Reagan Show, which is fed live in the same time period that I occupy. So we're in competition of some sort. And many stations have picked up the Ron Reagan Show. But from my point of view, his name automatically sets off a kind of disconnect. And Ron Reagan is not a conservative Republican. But he's a pretty middle-of-the-road guy, and when I've listened to him, I don't get clear points of view from Ron Reagan. And I don't frankly consider him a progressive. He may be liberal on some issues, and certainly, you know, he's far different from his father, his mother, and his sisters. Or at least one of his sisters, Maureen. The other, I don't think, is very political, Patty. So those moves are underway. You may want to comment on that. And meanwhile, on the business side, radio is really hitting the wall. Clear Channel, which was taken private last year with the help of Bain Capital, that's who Mitt Romney works for, well, they're on their knees. Clear Channel went private with $19 billion in debt. And they are now accessing their emergency credit line, which appears to be the last round of money available to them, without taking out new borrowing. And as you know, credit is very hard to get. And Clear Channel's revenues have declined, as have those in other broadcast businesses. And so it creates a, you know, potential meltdown here in the radio industry. And we have to go back to 1996 when a president named Bill Clinton used the Telecommunications Act of 96 as a fundraising tool. He had a patsy opponent in Bob Dole, but he still raised lots and lots of money to run his reelection in 1996. And a lot of it came from wireless telephone companies, internet companies, the terrestrial broadcasters. And they invested their money and they got what they wanted. Huge deregulation. And a few years ago, Clear Channel had bulked up to 1,200 radio stations across the country. And that compares to the regulations in the 1980s when the most you could own was 14, 7 a.m., 7 f.m. And it's interesting to me to see that the market has not embraced the consolidation and the homogenization that in many respects Clear Channel represents. And frankly, I'm not one of those people who thinks that Clear Channel is evil. I work with a lot of great people who happen to work for Clear Channel. My program is heard in San Francisco on a Clear Channel station and also in Portland. But when you look at the regulatory framework that was rolled back, the deregulation of radio has turned out as badly as the deregulation of our financial services industries. Now, I would hasten to add that radio's problems haven't bled through to the entire economy and caused a cold for the whole world. But fundamentally, I think both cases show that deregulation is not even in the self-interest of the industries that seek it. And that removing competition isn't good for capitalism, and it isn't good for the self-interest of those who seek to build monopolies or quasi-monopolies. And so I think we're at an interesting crossroads here. There's one more piece to add. If you listen to satellite radio, and I do, I used to work on a program that was delivered to Sirius. They never paid me a dime, but Sirius Satellite Radio distributed my program for a year and a half. And that was before Howard Stern and his buddy Mel Karmazin came into the company. They paid themselves hundreds of millions of dollars from a startup that had heavy capital costs to put those satellites in the sky and to program 100-and-some channels. And Karmazin and Stern have pulled hundreds of millions of dollars out of this company that was not profitable. And so last year in the Republican era, as they saw it possibly coming to a close, Karmazin moved to change the rules so that Sirius could merge or actually acquire XM. And again, we have created a monopoly where there was only a duopoly, and originally satellite radio was intended for at least four licensees. They winnowed it down to two, and then Karmazin, with a lot of help from politicians in Washington, mostly Republicans, but not all, engineered this merger. And so now he's got this big ship that he has steered onto the rocks. Sirius XM has to pay $175 million by the end of February, and they don't have it. Now, I don't think Howard Stern's in any danger. He'll probably stay on the air no matter what happens. But now there is a battle between the two big TV satellite companies, EchoStar and DirecTV, to take over Sirius XM. What does that mean to the end user, to the consumer? Well, it means that your access to information and entertainment will be controlled more narrowly than even before. John Malone of Liberty Media controls DirecTV. He wants XM Sirius because he doesn't want his competitor EchoStar to get a hold of it. They own the Dish Network. And no matter how you slice it, we are the losers. These are public airwaves, whether you're talking AM, FM, or satellite. They're not owned by the companies that hold the licenses to broadcast on certain frequencies. But they act like they do. And the government lets them act like they do. Now, we've got a new chairman coming into the FCC. I don't believe his confirmation hearings have even begun. And it remains to be seen, and I can't summon his name at the moment, what new courses he will chart. But my bottom line is that deregulation of broadcasting has been a complete and utter failure. Not on the scale of the Wall Street meltdown, but perhaps just as important. Not measured in dollars, but measured in our access to a wide range, a diverse range of views and voices. Without the corporate filter, without the corporate agenda. So, we'll continue to follow these issues, and I'll pass along comments and information as it comes along. Oh yeah, Muzak is also headed for bankruptcy. Well, just pick your favorite tune and hum along. My lines are open for you, and I want to hear your comments. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere you are, call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast, and I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when I've come to work.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. We're still keeping our eye on a few incidents from earlier on in the day. The first one is in Castroville. We had a collision on Holyoke Way at Charter Oak Boulevard. And in Santa Cruz on Highway 9, just north of San Lorenzo Valley High School, we had a no-injury collision there. And in the Hollister-Gower area on Watsonville Road at Hayes Lane, that big rig is still stuck in the road. And weather. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows will be in the mid-30s to lower 40s, so bundle up tonight. Northwest winds are 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Friday, we're expecting more showers with temperature highs around 50 degrees, and our forecast for the weekend calls for more rain as well. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. The Peter B. Cullen Show is coming right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor progressive politics and electric guitars. It's the free speed zone. We check the First Amendment has not been repealed. Your comments are welcome at 888-573-8372. Program it into the speed dial, 888-5-PETER-B. And we got Bob in Monterey listening on KRXA. Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Peter B., great to listen to you. I've been calling in for about a year, and I've held off bringing this question to the format. And it's about UFO disclosure.
Uh-huh.
Now, I do a program here on KRXA called The Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about UFOs, which you can see any clear night using third-generation night vision goggles.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's just how it is. The craft are out there. Anybody who is interested can see these craft every night with the goggles. I wrote to the president's briefing book, and so did about 2,000 other people, about having a debriefing for the American public and the world on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And that debriefing book is no longer online. When I contacted the government website to find out more about it, all I get back is a generic answer that mm-hmm. says, thank you.
Right.
Answer to my question.
Yeah.
All gone. So I'll put that out there and see if anybody has some comments on it. But,
okay. I mean, my own thought is I'm interested, I'm curious. We all have to define what UFO means. It's not necessarily an alien craft, but it could be. And I also do believe that our government has covered up various episodes and incidents that have occurred that do or do not have an explanation in human terms. And I have no opposition to full disclosure of whatever secrets the government has about unidentified flying objects.
Actually, a better term for it is extraterrestrial presence, because that is the disclosure, I think, that we're after now that we have a better understanding of how we deal with and use these terms.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see, for me, UFO offers the broadest range, and, you know, I don't know that something we see in the sky came from outside of our atmosphere. It might. Certainly we've been able to get outside of our own Earth atmosphere, and so to imagine that others could is not a stretch for me. But I also have to say, Bob, that there's so many other issues that I think, you know, are a higher priority. For example, if the government's going to disclose secrets, I'd like them to tell us about 9/11. I'd like to tell us them to tell us about the extraordinary rendition and torture programs, that Obama is using the same phony argument about a state secret privilege as Bush did. And so in the big scheme of things, I'm curious, but I'm not terribly compelled by the issue.
Well, to put everything that you just said in perspective, you might consider that we've been lied to about everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been lied to about a lot of things. There's no doubt about that. But again, you know, what they have at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, what has actually occurred at Area 51, these are all things that I'm curious about. But I don't have, you know, a real passion for them because I'm much more concerned about active efforts by our government to conceal things that we have a real right to know and that have a direct impact on recent policies from the Patriot Act to our invasion of Iraq and our occupation there.
Again, I completely agree with you. However, I would point out that if we knew that we were not alone in the universe and that we have visitation and that there's a lot more going on than what we're told about, our spiritual realm and our religious ideas, that I just think we're open for all of that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
To know about all of it.
Okay, Bob, well, let's see if people want to comment on this. I appreciate you bringing it up. Good to have you on the program today. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join in, phones are lighting up, so we'll take your calls right after the break, and you can comment on that or anything else that's on your mind. 888-573-8372, 888-5 Peter B. And you can grab a podcast of any portion of the Peter B. Collins Show, share it with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Finally, a new talk show on KRXA that we could all use. Sundays, 11 to 12, Listen to Fix It Up, an hour-long call-in talk show with contractor Bruce Pippin and electrician Marie. With years of experience and lots of humor, they'll answer all your questions, from how to fix your leaky faucet to finding the right contractor. You'll find simple, easy solutions to all kinds of things that can break down in your home. Fix It Up with Bruce and Marie, Sundays, 11 to 12. Email in your questions or call in, only on AM 540 KRXA. Fix It Up.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Judd Gregg, the Republican senator from New Hampshire, has now declined appointment as Commerce Secretary in the Obama cabinet. What a relief! And I only learned today that he volunteered for the job. He asked to be appointed to it. Huh? And why did Obama do it? Double, huh? Next in the free speech zone, we go to Arcata and people listening to KGOE. Here's Mike. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just so concerned about the situation of progressive radio declining.
Yeah.
And I've I listened to Tom Hartman, and you know he's certainly concerned about it too, as you well know. I mean, very concerned about it. He'll do well, but you know I. If you don't mind me saying this, you know,
you can say whatever you want.
I listen to music, so we're not, and you know Tom Seaborn up here.
Sure I do.
And we didn't get an ad. We were listening to the bumper music from when you last cut off. This is by no means a, well, it seems to be getting more purple up here.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be very, very blue.
All right, now just explain one thing. You said during the break you heard music, so the commercials didn't play up there?
Correct.
Okay, well, that happens occasionally. It's a computer error, and probably Tom's in the other end of the building or already went home.
Yeah, I think he's gone home by now because his last little news report would justify.
Well, just to pull back the curtain here on the wizard, I have a little box next to me, and when we go to a break, I either press the green button or a red button, and it sends a signal that you can't hear, but dogs can, and that triggers the computer in Eureka and Monterey and everywhere else to do what it's supposed to do, which is either play a traffic report or go to news or play a commercial.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
I'm kind of familiar with that operation, but anyway, back to the point. The cons really are taking over the radio, and I don't even know who it is. I should pay more attention, but I don't know who handles Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity? For instance, on Inauguration Day,
mm-hmm.
I thought there might even be a little bit of enthusiasm. That was very naive of me.
Yeah.
to think there might be some enthusiasm from Rush Limbaugh.
Or even just neutrality, just respect for the transition.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Just, you know, a little bit of, yeah, I mean, this is fine, let's see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I push my button because I mean, literally push the button on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a little bit of, and I can't handle more than a couple minutes.
I hear you.
and as it turns out, he was having a love fest with, what's wrong with the Ann Coulter?
Oh God!
And I just can't believe how they were just nitpicking everything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I couldn't listen to more than a couple minutes and got back to listening to everything. Actually, watching on CNN
mm-hmm.
the whole thing. But anyway, what in the world are we going to do? Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh can be heard in every little town in every part of the United States.
It's pretty insidious. They outnumber us 9-1.
Only 9-1?
Oh, Mike, you're hurting me.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to, but I mean,
only
it seems
9-1.
Like it's greater than that.
All right. Thank you very much for your comment. I appreciate the call today. I got to run because R.J. Shulman is available for a limited time only. He's there in the newsroom at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch generating the reportage you can find absolutely nowhere else. Check it out. The address is ptsd1.blogspot.com. I'll repeat that. PTSD, the digit 1.blogspot.com. RJ Shulman, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing this week?
Well, I'm just curious, before we dive into some of your stories, if you are finding it more challenging in the Obama era to conduct the style of reporting that is so unique to you and your site.
You're basically saying that Obama is just not that funny.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're saying. Yeah, I can agree with that.
And we're
actually having to deal with real issues instead of bizarre personalities. And so that requires, a lot more research and a lot more work to get the real stories out.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you dig it. You dig right in there and you get it. Let's go to Arizona, where Ron Steger, the chairman of the Arizona-based Deport Illegal Immigrants Now, is calling for Congress to derail Obama's stimulus package. And what's his rationale here?
Well, the rationale is that as the economy has turned sour, we're not getting illegal aliens wanting to cross the border into the United States. Because he's saying for the first time, maybe ever, the economy is so bad that it's kind of pointless to cross the border.
I see. And so if we just go deeper and wreck the economy further, that really will take care of our illegal immigration problem.
Right. And not only that, we can save money and not have to build that big wall. So they're all for making sure the economy completely tanks.
Uh-huh. And he's keying on some of the ranting and raving of Michael Savage. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a real quote. I think we can say this on the air. Michael Savage said, quote, "That moron Bush was really a genius. Who knew that a guy who basically shut down the English language would be the one to shut down the border?"
Well, Savage is actually on to something there for a moment. All right, now you say the Republicans are trying to recruit Sully, the heroic captain?
Yeah, they failed miserably coming up with a candidate, as you know, in this last election.
Yeah.
And what happened is once it became clear that Captain Sullenberger was this hero of immense proportion, They're going to recruit him to run for president.
Interesting. Now, did you hear the report today that the DNA analysis of the birds which jammed both engines of that U.S. aircraft and caused him to crash landed into the Hudson, they have been identified as Canadian geese? And so I'm just wondering what our response is. I'm sure that we have troops massing on the Canadian border ready to pour over. And what do you think we should get? I'd like Montreal.
Well, I think so. But actually, those were not troops on the border trying to get into Canada. It was people trying to get some, you know, prescription medicine.
Oh, I see. Well, we'll have to wait and see what the restrained response of the Obama administration might be. And I got time for one more. Bush has scheduled his first paid speech. He's going to Canada to address a group up there. We don't know how much money he's going to get paid, but you've got a story on the newly former President Bush.
Yeah, this is one where he's actually said that he doesn't miss the White House at all because, quote, it got in the way of my vacation.
Wow. That is true, because he was the best vacation president in, perhaps, American history, but certainly in my lifetime.
That's really true. So he's quite relieved, because now he can, you know, drink in public and do all these things that he couldn't do as president.
Now, I just have to ask, you have a photograph here of the president and prominently a position there, a product placement. A bottle of Jack Daniels. Do we have to ask if this was photoshopped in?
No, actually, Jack Daniels paid a lot of money to have that product placed right there.
I see. Is that available on the jackdaniels.com website?
I think so. I think if you look for it, you may be able to find it there.
Okay. RJ, thank you for your work. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Peter B., have a good one.
R.J. Shulman, the proprietor and chief journalist there at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch. Again, their website, ptsd1.blogspot.com. Here is Grant in Portland, Oregon, listening on, online, I guess, but we're also available late night now, five nights a week on KPOJ and our Saturday and Sunday broadcast, too. Hi, Grant.
Hey, Peter B., I was going to throw something out about the U.S. UFO stuff, but I think I changed my mind.
All right, well, you can talk about more than one thing, but
you know,
go ahead.
Exopolitics stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the bills introduced by John Conyers, the six of them that came out very recently. And I've been looking at this, and these seem outstanding. And so I wanted to throw out to everybody that you should look at these things, go to his website. And I would encourage everybody in the, you know, within the sound of my voice to basically urge their representative to co-sponsor this this move, these six moves, basically.
And you go, I've got a piece of paper across the room that summarizes them, but I recall there are two about election issues. One,
better believe it.
One that is an attempt to end the shenanigans over voter suppression, including caging.
Got it.
The other is about voting processes and comes up a little short. It's a good first step, but we need to ban the electronic voting machines entirely.
I agree, but until then, I'd rather see open source software on there that we can, you know, we could MD5 checksum it. We can review it. It's not this proprietary, and oh, by the way, here's a skulking IT guy with a new chip. You know,
right.
We don't have to deal with that.
Now, the other piece, of course, is his report on the imperial presidency, the power grab of Bush, Cheney, et al., and that's a 487-page piece, and I've read the executive summary. He's done a lot of good work there cataloging the misdeeds and the law-breaking, and my disappointment is that it at best it appears now it'll be used as fodder for a truth commission. And I want criminal prosecutions. I want to treat these violations of the law the same way as if you and I, are speeding or rob a bank or steal money from the school lunch fund. You and I, here's an example. We've got Tejada, a baseball player who has been convicted of lying to Congress about steroids. And a lot of people lied to Congress over the last 8 years, and nobody's making an effort to bring them to justice.
I concur. Well, on your earlier point, I think what you're seeing is a difference between what's coming out of Levin and what's coming out of Conyers. Because what Conyers has been saying is, no. You break the law, you need to be prosecuted. And I'm on that page.
Yeah, and Sheldon Whitehouse says
I'm on that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just like I've been looking at this, and I like his approach. I actually called in after I got my congressman to, you know, I urged him to co-sponsor these bills.
Mm-hmm.
I called the Conyers office. I said, please don't put Lee Hamilton on the commission.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You read my mind, Grant.
These, you know, old guard good old boys.
You bet.
Playing political interference on every single commission that's supposed to be getting the truth.
Oh, Grant, you just said it.
Please, don't put Lee Hamilton on it.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy to fund a pension for him just to keep him off commissions for the rest of his life.
Go play golf or something.
All right, Grant, great points. Thanks for bringing them up, and I will talk to you again. Appreciate the call. 888-5 Peter B. will continue with your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone after we take a quick break. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com, and if you don't got internets, you can write me a letter. You still do that? You got stamps and everything? It's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Again, Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Is your drinking affecting your work? Is your drinking affecting your physical health? Is your drinking affecting your relationships with others? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, Sun Street Center's Outpatient Recovery Services can help you today on your road to recovery. For adults 18 and over, private insurance is accepted. Help is only a phone call away at 753-6001. Brought to you by Sun Street Center's Outpatient Recovery Services and the Coalition Preventing Alcohol-Related Trauma in Salinas.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Brandon Hirsch. Our top item today, Fox News presented a press release issued by the Senate Republican Communications Center as its own research. John Scott, co-host of Fox's Happening Now, in purporting to take a look back at how the economic recovery package was born and how it grew, cited sources and cost figures that originated from the February 10th SRCC press release. Adding insult to injury, one on-screen graphic during the segment even repeated a typo from the original press release. At no time did Scott indicate that he was reading from a partisan press release. And today's most outrageous comment comes from Fox News' own Sean Hannity, who, in a segment with Greta Van Susteren, falsely identified a Frisbee golf course as an earmark in the economic recovery bill.
This is not what is going to bring us economic security. I got five pages.
Give me some examples.
A Frisbee park?
In fact, there is no earmark for a Frisbee golf course in either the House or the Senate version of the bill. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
The following is a public service message from this station and calltorecycle.org. Chances are you already recycle paper, glass, and plastic, but it's just as important to recycle old rechargeable batteries. They're the kind you find in power tools, cell and cordless phones, laptops, and other cordless electronics. It's easy and it's free. To learn more, call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE or visit us online at calltorecycle.org. Just remember, if it's rechargeable, it's recyclable.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. I want to thank my able producer, Katrina Rill. She makes this program happen every day. And Nick Tanham, our very able assistant producer, on duty today, taking your calls. Up next, it's Dave in Monterey, exercising his free speech rights. Hi, Dave.
Well, hi. How you doing?
Pretty good. Good to hear from you.
I haven't talked to you for a while.
I know.
Hey, the former NIST fire science chief, Alan Miller, Ph.D., in a letter that can be read on the Internet, just pretty much, you know, says that the Building 7 investigation is just, you know, just totally fraudulent. I mean, it doesn't even have a timeline. He said he never saw a fire investigation without a timeline. Well, you saw one with this guy. And, you know, when the, I can't think of the guy's name now, but the head guy in NIST that came out with this, when he excluded explosives being used to take down Building 7 because the excuse was an audio thing, people would have heard a loud noise. Well, you know what, Peter? He was a lying dog.
Well, people did hear a loud noise. The real-time accounts of people who were on the scene are very clear about that.
Exactly. Well, anyways, what I wanted to report on, I don't hear people talking about it much, and that is a lot of these right-wingers on the radio, they immediately point to this popular mechanics article that debunks 911 conspiracy that was published in March of 05.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, I've heard people claim that popular mechanics has a good reputation. Well, let us remember, Bernie Madoff had a good reputation. You know, and another thing I'd like to say is that a lot of people don't know that the former editor there at Popular Mechanics was thrown out on his ear 10 months earlier in May of 04 and installed in his place. This is the catcher right here. Installed in his place by the parent company, Hearst Corporation, a one James Meigs, M-E-I-G-S. Well, Mr. Meigs, his experience is he's the founder of Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, a lot of celebrities were affected by 9/11.
Well, that is a master of yellow journalism. This is a propaganda pro. Why was Hearst Corporation inclined to elect a propaganda pro to take the helm of Popular Mechanics, a science magazine? And furthermore, it's like the one guy talked about the Illuminati, about this conspiracy. But when you suck in the government, when you suck in Hearst Corporation, and the acts of private and public entities, it's kind of hard to discount that a conspiracy doesn't happen. In fact, from the research that I've done, it would almost seem kind of foolish to discount a conspiracy. I think there's plenty of evidence for it.
Well, first I'll say this, that yes, there is a history that William Randolph Hearst himself was a guy who used his newspapers for political purposes and helped start the Spanish-American War. Yeah. But I have to say that the contemporary Hearst Corporation is about selling ad pages. And let's remember that their most lucrative publication is Cosmopolitan, which every month publishes 13 ways to turn on your boyfriend and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, honestly, I've never taken Popular Mechanics that seriously. And in particular, I find it laughable that that they were used to try to prop up the government's myth-making on 9/11. If a real science journal had done a similar analysis, I might pay more attention. But I dismissed the Popular Mechanics piece shortly after it was published. I looked at it. I can't say I read every word. But I looked at it and I said, this is bogus.
It doesn't really address any of the real issues. It just kind of talks about the popcorn issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so,
at any rate, why is this, Peter? Why did that article come out? Why is it that no one in big radio, you know, the 50,000-watt stations, and why is it that nobody in government, nobody in big media says they're conspiracy, but we got 600 architects and engineers at Patriots for 911 Truth that want a new investigation, but nobody in the government and nobody in big media wants one. Well, it's a conspiracy. I mean, that's plain and simple. When we're talking hundreds of numbers, you just do the logistics of it. The numbers point to a conspiracy.
Well, the best way I can respond to that is to quote David Ray Griffin. because he is repeatedly accused of trading in conspiracy theories. And he says, well, yes, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to find the accurate conspiracy theory because the one we were told by our government simply doesn't measure up to close scrutiny.
Yeah, the 19 guys in four airplanes don't cut it.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it. Patrick in Monterey, there's a package on its way to you.
Hey, I just got it. Thank you so much.
Really?
Yeah.
I only mailed it yesterday, and I used the slow boat. That's great.
Yeah, thank you very much. But if you've got anything else you need to unload that you can't get rid of, I am a one-man charitable organization.
Okay. Happy.
I'm a book charity.
Good. Happy to do it, Patrick. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to comment really about Bernie Ward, but in passing, I did want to give a shout-out to Bob Oliver. I like Bob, and I listen to his show. And
good.
I'm more inclined to have a disagreement with him on this. I'm more inclined to believe that the abductions are MK-Ultra-related mind-control experiments, and the craft are just high-tech, top-secret military craft. But he's very entertaining, but his commercials are about as inscrutable, enigmatic and mysterious as that ad for the guy from Alaska that ran for president on the Democratic ticket.
Who, Mike Gravel?
Yeah, they're just, I mean, like his commercials, like, what is Bob talking about? What does that mean?
All right, I've only got a minute, Patrick, so continue.
Bernie Ward, I wanted to know what the latest on him was. I find the whole story about him researching the right for a book plausible personally, especially when there's things like the Franklin case in Nebraska and the Finders. I'd love to see more stuff done on the Finders. I mean, where'd that story go?
Right. Well, as far as Bernie goes, I do not know the facts. I can only say that he pled guilty to possession of a fairly large number of illegal child pornography images. He and I have been exchanging letters. He's now in prison in Beaumont, Texas. And he acknowledges personal failings, but I've never asked him explicitly, you know, what he was doing and where he ran afoul of the law.
Is he being separated from the general populace?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's segregated. He's at a low-security prison in Beaumont. Thank you, Patrick. I got to run, and I'm out of time today. This one's for Judd Gregg.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It was a surprise when President Obama tapped Senator Judd Gregg for Secretary of Commerce, and a bigger surprise today when Gregg announced he's not taking the job. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Republican senator, a lifetime fiscal conservative, knew going in he had disagreements with President Obama on how to handle the economy, and now says he made a mistake when he accepted the nomination to be Commerce Secretary.
And be part of the team and not be able to be 100% with the team, 110% with the team. You know, you can't have a blocking back who only pulls out for every second or third play.
Gregg said President Obama did nothing wrong and has been completely gracious.
And I immensely respect him, and I know he's going to be a strong and effective and good president.
But one who now has to go find someone else to be his Commerce Secretary. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president met with Gregg yesterday. The news broke as he was visiting a Caterpillar plant in Peoria campaigning for the economic stimulus bill. Later, Mr. Obama talked to reporters on Air Force One about Gregg's withdrawal.
The one thing that I give him credit for is having searched his heart before he took on the job, because obviously you don't want somebody having a change of heart after they've already been confirmed and they're in the process of building a team.
Now the president resumes the search for a commerce secretary. He picked Gregg after his original choice, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, dropped out. Mr. Obama also needs to replace Tom Daschle as nominee for health secretary. But the CIA slot is filled. Former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta was confirmed by the Senate late today. It's reassurance for parents worried about the safety of child vaccines, but rulings today come as a blow to parents who blame vaccines for their children's autism and want compensation. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
A special federal court has issued three rulings rejecting claims that vaccines containing a mercury-based preservative cause autism. In long, detailed decisions, judges or special masters spelled out the evidence presented and concluded it's not even a close call. Rita Schreffler of the National Autism Association is angry and thinks more than evidence was considered.
There's more lobbyists on Capitol Hill than there are congressmen. The pharmaceutical industry is very powerful. I think we're seeing an example of that.
The Obama administration, in a statement, says parents should now be reassured vaccines don't trigger autism. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Congressional leaders say they've resolved all the fine points of the stimulus bill. The House and Senate plan to vote tomorrow. CBS News correspondent